This morning, I'm going to be sharing the word of the Lord with us from the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. In sharing the word today, will go more or less verse by verse. There are times when I'm going to veer away from that particular chapter, but for particular reasons. This chapter, John 7, is the chapter that took time to tell us about how the Lord Jesus Christ celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were particular statements that he made. But there is a particular point that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to drive home to us in this particular chapter. And it is that others may be confused about who you are, but you must never be confused about who you are. Amen? Others may not believe you, but you must never stop believing in what God has invested in you. Did you get that? Others may be confused. They may not know who you are. They might be confused about where you come from, what you are about. But you must never be confused about who you are in God. So that's in this passage. Yeah. And that's something that the Lord has been saying to us for a while now. There's more to you than you think. Now you need to discover that. You need to discover the mighty God who has taken residence in you. The mighty God who's taken residence in me. The mighty God who has come to possess me and possess you. In recognizing that, it changes how you walk and how you move. Hallelujah. So the Word of God says in John chapter 7, beginning to read from verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. So this is an interesting way for the passage to start. It says Jesus just hung around in Galilee. He didn't go to areas where the Jews, you know, around Jerusalem. He didn't go anywhere around there. He's the Son of God. Is he afraid? I think not. But he knew something about timing. Yes, the people were trying to kill him. But you will notice as we go further down that they couldn't. Nobody will lay hands on him because it was not his time to die yet. Amen? So, the Bible goes on in verse 2. It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. It was the time of this Feast of Tabernacles. And his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Go to Judea, so that your disciples will see the works that thou doest. The Bible says, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. Nobody does anything in secret and expects to be known openly. That is the language of man. The Lord says, pray in secret and the Lord will reward you what? Openly. Now, you got to understand that there are things that men say based on their perspective. And in their own mind, it is right. But there are things that God says. And I need not concern myself about what man says. I need to concern myself with what God says. Hallelujah. He says, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. If you do these miracles, show yourself to the world. Come on. Let everybody see it. And now verse 5 is key. It says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. His own brothers did not believe in him. They didn't believe in him. They just thought, show off. Yeah, God did this, and yes, you did that, and yes, yeah. Okay. Go do it in Jerusalem. Has he not? He's done so many miracles everywhere. And you will see in just a moment the discuss of how the people are talking about the miracles Jesus had done. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. My time is not yet what? Come. But your time is always ready. This time is your time. My time is not yet. But my time will come. Hallelujah. My time will come. Now you guys are doing your thing. Okay, it's fine. It says the world cannot hate you, but me, it hated, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. In essence, I'm going to come to this feast when my time is up, when I'm ready, when is the right time. But I'm not going to go now. But there's going to be a time that I'm going to go there. Why are they having this discussion? Because Jesus has been hanging around Galilee. And he's been around Galilee. And they know that the center for action was in Jerusalem. You know, if you're in Jerusalem, you're a big shot now. You've arrived. And in fact, when Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem, when he's going to have the triumphant entry, the whole bunch of people are following him. But that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for God's timing. Someone say, God's timing. Say it again, God's timing. God's timing is always the best. Hallelujah. Other people's time may come, and it's not yet your time. But when it's your time, it's your time. Hallelujah. It says his time was not full come. It says, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren had gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So he was there in that feast, but he was hidden in the feast, in the midst of the feast. Are you with me? He's there, but he's not showing himself. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceived the people. He's not a good man. He's a deceiver, they said. That's what people said. Who do men say that I am? Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father. And here he is, he's there, and they're looking for him, and people are murmuring, they are just talking, and some say, he's a good man. Leave him alone, he's a good man. And others said, no, he's not a good man, he's a deceiver. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. No one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. So I wonder, who are these people that are speaking? Is it possible that the people that are talking about him are the same people he's been spending time with out there in Galilee? And now they're talking. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple. The feast is happening, and now he shows up in the temple, goes right into the temple. And what is he doing? He's teaching. He taught. The Bible goes on and says in verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How does he know all this stuff? We didn't see him in our Bible school. He didn't go to our seminaries. We've not seen him around here under any of these our teachers. How is it that he knows all these things? He knows them because he's from above. Hallelujah. He's not going to be defined by their knowledge, because his knowledge is above their knowledge. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. What I'm talking to you about is not mine. It's not what I'm making up. But his that sent me. Amen? He that sent me. He that sent me. In other words, he knew from where, from whence he got what he got. They may not know, but he knows. And the core of this message is, it doesn't matter what anybody else knows or doesn't know, what anybody else believes or doesn't believe about you, what do you know about you? What you believe about you, you gotta have that settled. That has to be what? Settled. Because people can believe and disbelieve. But you cannot, if you are going to fulfill the mandate of God in your life, you cannot afford not to believe the message and the calling and the purpose of God for your life. If you do, you lose out. So, he says, if any man will do his will, if any man will do his will, the will of who? The one who sent him. who sent him, the Father, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If you're doing the will of God, you know whether I'm of God or not of God, whether I'm speaking the word of God or not speaking the word of God. And the only way you're going to know the difference is if you are doing his will. You see that? If any man will do his will, if you do his will, you will know the doctrine. You will know what I'm talking about, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If it's about me, myself and I, or I'm talking about God. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Person who's speaking about himself is seeking his own what? Glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, that means the glory, the doxa, all that God is, the glory of that one that sent him, that same is a true messenger, and there's no unrighteousness in him. We got that so far? Okay. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Why go ye about to kill me? Come on. Who's trying to kill you? Come on. I know about what you're planning. Even though you're not saying it, I know. This is, you say you're keeping the laws of Moses. You say Moses gave you the law and you're not keeping what he says to you because you are trying to kill me. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Remember, the core of message is, it doesn't matter what other people think. What do you know about yourself? They said, you got a devil. Who goes about trying to kill you? Jesus answered and said to them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision. Now, I'm reading through all of this for a reason. He's going through all kinds of discussions here, and it seems like it's going every which way. Stay on track. What are you talking about, Moses? And they're trying to kill you. And especially now, why are you talking about Moses gave unto you circumcision? Not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. What's going on here? What is he trying to get at? Because the Lord is not making any statement just to make a statement, just because he wants to talk. He's saying to them, you say you're keeping the law. And in the law of Moses, it says, Don't work on the Sabbath. However, on the Sabbath, you are busy doing work, circumcising. Why are you circumcising? And basically what he's saying is, there is the law, but there is a covenant that supersedes the law. I don't know if you heard what I just said. There is a what? A covenant. Because circumcision was a sign of a covenant. What is the covenant that God is making with us? I am going to reveal my glory. There is going to be a manifestation. He hid himself, but then comes the time when he comes to the open. And God is saying to us, in this last of the last days, there's been a time that I hid myself, but I'm going to come up in the open now, and I'm going to declare my glory in all the earth. Hallelujah. He says, you guys, you think you believe something, you... Listen, he says, but you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. Why? Because there is something inside of you that tells you that covenants supersede laws, supersede rules. Just like the covenant of the new birth supersede the law. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every with whole on the Sabbath day? Now, you've been reading the passage with me, right? Did we see any miracles here? Nothing? So what is he talking about? He's saying, you guys have been at this for the longest time. You just don't believe. And God wants people to come to his rest. That's why he's talking about this. He's talking about the rest of God. The deliverance that God brings to his people. So even though in the passage we've not seen one miracle here or there stated, he's saying to them that God is a God who wants you to come into his rest. He wants to break every limitation that causes you to struggle through life. Hallelujah. This is... If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? That I came to give, I proclaim to them their rest, their deliverance. Man, stretch out your hand. And the man with the withered hand stretched it out. And the ruler of the synagogue comes and says, there are so many 6 days for you guys to come here and get your healing. But why are you doing it? No. God, every day is God's day. Amen. Hallelujah. This daughter of Abraham, shouldn't she be made well? She's been in this bondage 18 years. 18 years. I don't want you to miss tonight. Every single person, you got to be here tonight. Amen. We're going somewhere. I've made a man every withhold on the Sabbath day. 24. Judge not according to the appearance. Say it with me. Judge not according to the appearance. Say it again. Judge not according to the appearance. You know what? Because that's what how we judge. According to appearance. According to appearance. That's how we make judgments. I'll never forget an experience I had not too long ago. I was ministering in a church, and the Lord giving me instruction on what was going to happen in the service and what I was to do, the particular offering that he was requiring and stuff like that. And it wasn't a small amount. In fact, when he first told me how much it was, you can be hearing the voice of God, and you can be in a dream, and the word is so strong that you wake up. You got to wake up because this is too much. What the Lord told me to do was way too much. I woke up. I said, "No, no way. That's not. I can't do that. Why not?" And I gave all my reasons. He says, "That's what you're going to do." I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it, but Lord, you know where I am. Where I am, that kind of money does not, not there. It's not there." And then the Lord said, and by the way, there's going to be three of them. I said, "What?" But by this time, I'd already hit bottom. There was nowhere else to go. So one was enough. And now three of that? Okay. So I went and I ministered the word of God. And sure enough, as the Lord said, that's how it happened. But the reason I tell you this story is that the person, one of them was a man that was driving down the highway. He's going down the highway. And he's coming down the highway. It's a trucker. Coming down the highway, and the Lord says, "Go to that church." So he doesn't even attend the church. And so that person came and gave this huge amount. I'm not talking about 10,000 or 20,000 or 30,000 or even 40,000. I'm talking higher. Are you listening? So comes the second person. The second person. I saw this guy and I looked at him from head to toe. I'm thinking, this is a joke. This guy's a joker. He does not have that kind of money. He cannot have that. Come on. Judge not according to the appearance. The guy had the money. And gave it. And the third person gave theirs also. Wow. Pastor said, in one offering, I didn't force anything. I was just as casual as can be. In one offering, you took care of my budget for the year. Hallelujah. Because God was in there doing what he wanted to do. Don't judge according to the appearance. How things are is not what you miss out on so much. Somebody sent me a video not too long ago about a man. I don't know what vehicle it was. I think it was a Rolls Royce. Anyway, this guy comes, a black guy, comes into this shop, and there's two sales people, and a guy and a girl, and he comes and he's looking at these rolls, and the guy comes and says, "Sir, please don't touch that. Don't touch it." He said, the guy says, "How much is it?" He looks at him up and down and decides that he can't afford it. He said, "Don't go near it. It's not for you." The lady comes to him and says, "What would you like to know about this vehicle?" And he says, "I'd like to know thus about it." And she starts out, and the guy comes and taps, "Don't waste your time. This guy is going to waste your time." And then comes this guy looking really snazzy, and the sales guy looks at him, weighs him out, and says, "Ah, this guy can handle it." So he grabs him and he's teasing the other lady, and they go inside their office, and he starts putting out all the stuff, and it's time to pay. The card is not working. Nothing is working. And the guy says, I got to look the part. He says, "But you don't have the credit. Nothing works." And over here, this other lady is still talking with this guy. And the lady asks the other sales guy, "How did your deal go through?" He says, "It didn't work. The guy didn't have the money." So this man over here says, "By the way, how much is this thing?" She tells him. He says, "Can we go in and see if we can put your credit together?" He said, "No, we don't need to do that. I have all the money here." Amen. Hallelujah. "I have all the money here." Amen. And the other guy's face dropped. So she had the last verses. Don't judge the book by the cover. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's your story. Yeah. That's my story. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." That is, judge with the eyes of truth, knowing. They thought that David was not good enough, but David was the right one. People may count you out, but you must never count yourself out. You must know who you are connected to, whom you have believed. Hallelujah. It's not about them. The issue is not about them, what they believe or don't believe. What do you know about yourself, and what do you know about God and you? That's what really matters. 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." We know where he's come from, but when Christ comes, we won't know. You're also right, because they don't really know. They are confused. But is Jesus confused about himself? No, it's not. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye but know me, and ye know whence I am. And I'm come of myself. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." The one who sent me, I know him. He's true. but you don't know him. But I know him. Hallelujah. For I am where? From him. And he hath what? Sent me. Do you know that about yourself? That is the point. That is the point. And when is it that you and I are called to come to this realization? At this Feast of Tabernacles. That's when we come to the realization of who we are and who has come to tabernacle with us. Who's come to abide in us? Who's come to take residence in us? So I know where I came from. I know me. In him. He sent me. And I know him. You don't know him, but I know him. The devil wants to strip you of your ability of knowing what you know. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. I can die until my time. Hallelujah. And that time is not going to come, because God has the ability to glorify himself in us. Amen. It says, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man had done? So even though the Bible doesn't tell us, and John tells us, it says Jesus did so many things, if we start writing down the volumes of books, we'll not be able to contain it. There's been major miracles happening here that the Bible does not tell us anything about. There are mega miracles happening. Okay. If this is not the Christ, who can do this kind? When Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man had done? Because look at that. I don't know. This has got to be it. 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. They sent people to come get him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of sin is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? So they're going through all of this. And that's in the temple. But then on the last day of that great feast, hallelujah, Jesus stood. He's not hiding anymore. Hallelujah. He's not hiding. He stood in that last day, that great day of the feast, a day such as this, and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Huh? What is he talking about? This is the voice of a man who knows who he is. You got to know who you are in him and have a voice and recognize that there is timing. Timing. Somebody say timing.
Timing.
From I'm not going to he went, and then he hid himself, and then he went into the synagogue, and then now he stands and he belches it out. Boom! He knew his timing. Hallelujah. Someone say, Lord, I receive the grace to operate in God's timing. Your timing. Your knowing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that believeth on me, he says, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you believe on me and you come and you drink of me, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. You're going to drink because you're thirsty, but there's going to be a transition. Somebody say transition. There is going to be a change. You were thirsty. You drank of me, and now rivers. Because he's a God of increase. He's a God who multiplies. Hallelujah. Rivers of living water. Blessed be the name of the living God. Well, the word of God says, but this is spake of the Spirit which they that believe on him should what? Receive. Should receive. Should receive. Someone says should receive. Those that believe in him should receive. Now, I find it interesting that he uses the word should and not shall. Because there are people who do not believe completely. Amen? And in John chapter 8, we're going to see that. Take me to John 8 and verse 30 real quickly. John 8, 30, and we'll come back. John chapter 8 and verse 30. He says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. 31. Notice many what? Believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye what? Continue. If you what? Continue. If you what? Continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. They believed on him. But he said, if you continue in my word, then you are going to be my disciples indeed. And verse 32 says, and ye shall know what? The truth. You shall know the truth when you believe. No. You shall know the truth when you continue. You know the truth when you continue. Not when you believe. You know the truth when you continue. You shall know the truth, and the truth, now that you know, is the truth that shall what? Make you free. You shall be free because you believed. No, you shall be free because you know the truth. You got to go past believing to what? Knowing. Let me say that again. You got to go past believing to knowing. And knowing comes about because you believed and you continued believing. Some believe 60% of the way, 80% of the way, 90% of the way. 99% of the way. You got to go 100%. Amen? You got to go 100%. I believe there is no other thing for me but Him. In life, in death, in circumstances, without circumstances, that is what I believe, period. You're a fool for believing that. Call me whatever it is. You're stubborn. Call me whatever it is you want to call me. I just believe the word of God. I believe what He said. I believe what He says He's going to do. I believe and I continue in that word. Amen? God means good for you and for me. And we must never lose sight of that. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the last day of the feast, Jesus stands up and declares that declaration. If you thirst, come to me, drink. And out of your bellies is going to flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Rivers. God has rivers on His mind. Amen? Amen? What does this mean? There are many streams that come out of the one Him. Just like, time does not permit me to go in detail, but just like there was one river that came out of Eden. Amen? But that one river that came out of Eden split into four. Glory be to God. Do you remember we talked about this? It split into what? Four rivers. Pison, Gihon. You sure you remember this now? Yes. Remember we talked about it? Okay. So, one Jesus, one river of the Holy Spirit, but that one Holy Spirit become rivers, outpourings, graces that are flowing out. And what is it supposed to do? Bring healing to the people, bring restoration to the people, transformation. And God wants to do that in you and with you, with me and for me. Hallelujah. And on this feast, I encourage you to come drink from the Lord and allow God to do in you and with you what only He can do. Amen? Remember again, out of Eden. Remember what I told you about Eden, that Eden means pleasure. Yeah? Pleasure. In His right hand are pleasures forevermore. I know it is hard for us to grasp, but I want you to understand that the only thing God has ordained and planned for you is good and not evil. Amen? It's hard for us to understand with our natural mind because we live in a world that is full of evil and wickedness. But we've got to understand that God separates us from it, and that anything that happens, good, bad, or ugly, God causes all of it to work together for our what? Good. Because the only thing God wants me to have is good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I got to have that settled. If you don't have that settled, the enemy will strip you every day of your life of that good thing that God has ordained for you. I'm not talking about your past. I'm not talking about whatever it is that happened before or the things that you think may happen down the line because this didn't go right and that didn't go right. And because of this and because of that, this is going to happen. I'm saying to you right now, as I stand before you, I'm saying to you that God has good and only good on his mind. Because he's a good God. If James Brown can know that, you can know that too. Good God. Just know that. Settle it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Out of Eden, pleasure, the first river is Pison, and Pison means increase. That's the first river that's flowing out. The increase of God. Hallelujah. And then there's Gihon. Remember we talked about that? Gihon. And Gihon means the river that causes you to burst forth. God is causing me to what? Burst forth. Then there's Hiddekel. Hiddekel is the river that runs around Ethiopia. And or black. That's what the word is. And that particular river, Hiddekel, means for us that God will do what he wants to do rapidly. Amen? That's what Hiddekel means, rapid. And then the fourth river is Euphrates. Euphrates is a river of fruitfulness. So it's a fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. But it also means breaking forth, rushing. This is what's coming out of that river, that garden called Eden. That paradise of God. And when we reconnect with the master of this paradise, the kingdom of God. He says, you drink of me, rivers are going to come out. Rivers of prophecy. Rivers of healing. Rivers of the teaching of the word of God. The gifts of the spirit. The river that comes out of love. Remember that one? Love, the fruit of the spirit is what? Galatians what? 5. Yeah? In verse 9, take me there and I'll begin to wrap it up now. So when we come back tonight, we will seal all of this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The fruit. The what? Fruit. Did it say the fruits? No, the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit, the Word of God, is what? Love. God is what? Love. Out of that Spirit, that fruit, comes joy, comes peace, comes long-suffering, comes gentleness, comes goodness, comes faith, comes meekness, comes temperance, and then it says, against such there is no law. Amen? No law. Covenant override. Amen? Covenant what? Override. I will not be limited by rules and regulations and laws. I will be led by the word of God, which is a covenant word. Amen? Hallelujah? Do you receive it? Do you receive it? Then shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop there. And then tonight, we are going to wrap up this segment, because tonight, the Lord has given me a word. I was vacillating about it and wasn't sure whether this is the word that he wanted for this morning, or the word that I'm going to bring to you tonight was the word for this morning, and until God finally settled it in my spirit, this is how I want you to go, step by step, timing. And tonight, we're going to wrap all of it up, and I'm expecting that God will do for you, and he has already started. Amen? He's already started. Your life is already transformed. Amen? I encourage you to please get all of the CDs. Listen. Especially the one on, Wednesday or Thursday, In the Mist, the prophetic word that God gave. You need to have it in your spirit. Child of God, don't miss. Amen? Don't miss it. Get it. Because those are tools that God will use to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He's already given it to us. Let's embrace it and let us be transformed by it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.